Jesus Christ zero, Muhammad zero.
What do you think the perception is of the people that you're interviewing, that you're using your mobile phone rather than a professional thing?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I've got a friend who's a professional cameraman. He uses this and the big kit. And he says when you're dealing with politicians, you've got to have the big kit because they expect the respect of the big camera. That's just the nature of the beast, I think. So I think you probably choose the tools appropriate for the audience. But I find people are more relaxed around this. You put a big camera on somebody and they start preening. Yeah. Whereas they're more natural, if that's the word, they're more real.
That's the way you dress then as well, because obviously when you were saying the proper TV people, they're all wearing suits.
Suits, yeah.
And I can't imagine like some guy wearing a suit, someone wearing a suit, and then.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, the whole dress thing would that's a really one actually hadn't thought about. It's a very good point. Yeah. I guess one of the jobs of the journalist is to sort of be the chameleon and fit in. So you wear the appropriate. If you interview a farmer, you've got to wear gumboots. If you interview wellies here, aren't they? Yeah. Whereas if you're interviewing the Lord Mayor, you probably want to put on a coat. So I guess, yeah. Good question. I don't have an answer for that one.
What's your business model? Do you take video, spot stories, and then try to sell the content, or are you generally commissioned?
When I was working for the newspaper group in Hong Kong, I was just making videos as a reporter. So I got paid a salary. Now I'm freelance. I have a range of business models, and I have to confess I'm living more on savings than I am on income. Just depends on the subject matter. When I make wine videos, I sometimes get paid in wine. and trips and things. But yeah, the business model is, I guess, I haven't really explored the business model properly because I'm not allowed to work in this country anyway, so I hadn't thought about it. But eventually, yeah, you'd have to come up with a business model. But I guess my theory would be my production costs are low, so I could probably not charge too much and get the job ahead of somebody who's going to charge £1,000 an hour for making the video. I think you could probably pitch fairly low and still make money with this stuff because your costs are quite low.
Yeah, as a freelance journalist in the past, you know, you can spot the story and then pitch it, get the sale, then write it up. I'm just wondering, you know, is it sort of an agile version in video to target companies like Upworthy with, you know, looking for those kind of videos that would be picked up that they might have a budget for?
Yeah, again, I think
you
that's
have
probably...
to be filming a lot.
Yeah. I think that's probably another... That's a separate conversation, a separate... discussion, which I would very much think is worthwhile having, but I would not be the person to talk about it because I'm not making much money out of it.
And since how much will you pay for, I would say, maybe a 1 minute video or something like that? You're going to say depending on the topic.
I've charged £200 for a minute's video. When I made videos for Decanter China, they were paying me £50 per 1 minute video, but they were arguing I was living in China and therefore my cost of livings were lower. Bastards. What do they pay? 25p a word. So what I would do was argue I needed to write 200 words of introduction for the story to set up the video. So really I got money for the video and the story. And that's a nice trick to use. You say this video needs context, 200 words, so pay me 200 words for 200 words.
Tell us how many words?
Yeah. 300. 300. Yeah, it's a tricky one, I mean, about the whole freelancer thing about how much you can charge.
Do you have much experience with, like, moving? Like, if you had to move, like, if you were exploring somewhere, like GoPro and that kind of thing?
I've not used a GoPro. My mate Evo swears by things; they're wonderful. I guess it depends. If you were doing a lot of sports journalism, I think it would be perfect for that sort of thing. Stick it on the helmet of the downhill racer, and then I think you get some pretty cool footage. Or on a motorbike or a push bike or something like that, yeah. And on a at a demonstration. Yeah.
I've got one, but I haven't used it yet. I plan to take it on protest with my...
Yeah. But GoPro is something, that's one of my things I'm exploring next. I think it's got great potential as a tool, yeah. But I don't know. So,
what do you think is the best way for someone to break into online journalism or start a career?
Yeah. I would probably suggest a blog and put the videos on your blog, which is easy to do. So you've got your own YouTube account, and you take the embed code from the YouTube and drop it into your blog. That's only a few seconds work, and so. I do a weekly piece about wine, and I always include or aim to include a video or a photograph each week if I can, if I have the time or the resources. And you will build up a body of work over time, and I think the body of work is what you then use. So when I pitch for things now, I say I'm blah, 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 blah. If you need more about me, see this site. Reference my blog, and they can see there's 5 years worth of work there now, so that gives me some credibility because I've got that body of work. Again, because I'm not allowed to work here, I haven't really been pitching much. I spent my last couple of months writing some short stories, which I just finished. I'm now looking. Anybody, any literary agents in the room? No, he's a... I'll show you. He's got this... He's got this book called How to Mojo.
Because I think I've heard his name. Maybe.
Say again?
I recently watched a documentary.
Mm. He does make documentaries. He did one about his experiences with Aboriginal students in the Northern Territory of Australia.
Maybe it's not the same
So this is his book. So this is about Mojo, Tools of the Trade, SCRAP, which is an acronym he uses for how to roadmap a story, characters, something I've forgotten. Yeah. How to develop a story, how to make stories. It's really very cool. He's got lots of videos built into his...
G'day, my name's Ivo, and in this video, we're going to learn how to cover an unfolding event. Not as a series of individual shots, but more as a sequence. I've heard it said that we should consider the five-stop shot rule when we're actually covering something. I guess that's a close-up of what we're seeing, a close-up of who's doing it, a wider relational shot to show where it is, maybe a point-of-view shot, and maybe also a special shot. That's one way of doing it, but in the 30 years that I've been doing this, I've never found that there's enough time to do that with an unfolding event. In fact, you can generally do that and prepare that and plan that in a documentary or a drama or a corporate, but not at the scene of an accident or a news event, where you're better off treating it as a sequence and covering the event as a sequence. If you cover it as a sequence, a number of things will happen. One is that you're in the story, more in the story, covering the story. Two is you won't slow the actuality, the unfolding event down, and the policeman or the ambulance driver or whoever won't kick you off the scene. And thirdly is you'll end up with more shots, like magic almost. Hard to believe, but it's true. So I'll show you how to do that. But the first thing we have to do is to make sure that our subject, which is Claire today, is lit properly. Now, in this case, I'm standing on this side looking out into a big window, and that's not the right thing to do, because in a big window, exposure is going to be all wrong and Claire is going to be dark. So we don't want that. So the best thing for us to do, unless we've got a light where we can light Claire to match the outside exposure, is to walk around the other side. Now, over here, I'm on the same side as the light. So there's the light, and here's me, and there's the subject. So over here, as you can see, I've got absolutely no problems with my exposure at all. So this is where we'll do it from. It's not as nice a shot as looking at it.
Just mention a couple of things. So he's wearing a wireless mic here, with a clip up here. And he's carrying a little thing called used to be called a Buber. It's now been renamed the M-Cam Lite. It's a metal frame that you slot your iPhone into. It just gives a bit more stability, and it's got a better quality lens on the front here. And it's probably about a £50 piece of kit.
That beautiful garden, but because you're working fast and because we don't want to slow things down, we actually try and shoot the way the light is moving. So the light's coming from here to here, and that's the way that we'll shoot. So the light's on the subject, and we're looking the same way. So here goes. What we're going to do, we're going to shoot three shots, but we're not going to shoot them as shots. We're going to shoot them as a sequence. We're not going to stop and save each shot. And we're going to shoot a close-up, which shows us what we're doing, a close-up of the iPhone. We're going to shoot a shot of Claire's face, which shows us who's doing that. We're going to then shoot a wider shot, a relational shot, which relates the iPhone to the person and to the space. Okay? So there's the story. We've covered the story. This is being done, this is who's doing it, and this is where it's being done. If we ask Claire why she's doing this, we'll get an answer, which will be another one of the five W's. And then if I write a little voiceover, we might get the fifth W, which is the when. So we might answer our five W's just in this little sequence. Okay, so let's see how this goes. So we start filming now, and we do a few seconds of that. We then move up gently, we see who's doing it. A few seconds of that. And then we move out here, and we see a relational shot between Claire and the device. And Claire, why are you doing this?
I want to win the $10,000 first prize so that I can pay for my next year of uni.
So it's really that simple. That's how you cover a sequence. And as I said, one, two, three shots. But if you run it as a sequence, you can use a little bit of that one with the move up. That gives you a fourth shot. A little bit of that one with the move out. That gives you a fifth shot. Or use the whole lot as a sequence. That gives you a sixth shot. So twice as many shots if it's covered as a sequence. And also we haven't slowed Claire down at all, right? So let's see what that looks like. If I add a voiceover to it, we'll see if we can make a little story out of that. So there it is.
He's using volume.
We've added shots. We've added the wide shot. There's a close-up there, close-up of Claire. And I've included a voiceover underneath that to give it some context and to give us the when, some music. And Claire's little piece to camera about why she's doing it and the name Super. And underneath all that, we've put some music. Let's have a look at what that all looks and sounds like. Here we go.
Every year, the Co-Mojo National Smartphone Competition has people like Claire from all over Australia practicing their digital storytelling skills.
I want to win the $10,000 first prize so that I can pay.
So that's how you cover a sequence, and that's how you edit it together on a smartphone with a little bit of voiceover, a bit of music, a name super, and you've got a complete package. We'll teach you how to make those packages and turn them into user-generated stories in the upcoming videos.
So that's the book, and there are about 21 of these videos. Shows you editing, shows you story construction on timelines. I get no royalties from this, but it's a very a good book, and also the only iBook on the subject. Eva and I are writing a print book at the moment on this subject. So that's called How to Mojo.
What would you say the impact that say Google, things such as Google Glass could have on mobile gems?
I know nothing. It's something I've got to find out. I know nothing about Google Glass. So next thing to learn. Workshop on Google Glass next.
Uni should get some.
Some get some Google Glass.
Yeah.
Glass holes.
You look pretty cool.
Third art.
I don't know how available they are yet. Cause
yeah, you can. If you have the money, you can go and buy them. I tried one in the States.
Yeah, I tried one in that New York Google store, and it's pretty pricey. So
yeah.
Yeah,
I've got like 10
yeah.
and a half. So
how much?
Budget may be an issue, but it's 10 and a half grand a pop. Currently, but not in retail.
I'm trying to think what we would do differently to just you know, even a GorillaPod wrapped around your ass.
You look cool.
I'm not sure.
You're allowed to
wear it. Why would you
want it? You're legally allowed to wear it when you're driving.
I think they're quite useful. Say if you were like, I don't know, I think it'd be quite cool.
Yeah,
it's
I would
a
wait.
Thing,
I would
isn't
wait.
It?
It is. I would wait until the price goes down. You know, because people were saying it's really good to be saving money, and I can see them,
yeah,
the point of doing that. But if you're
not,
you know, it's just really cool. I mean, you know, there's lots of things you can buy that's really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, MIT comes along with lots of wearable stuff that's really cool.
I don't know how much memory you'd have as well in terms of, because you're saying 16 gigabytes isn't
it? Your skills tight, get on it.
Yeah.
That's
my
iPhone
now.
How much do you think you could shoot with 16 gigabytes?
A lot. When iMovie makes a movie, it's roughly 1 meg per second. So 60 second videos. 60 megs. But you've probably got another 300 or 400 megs of video files that you use to make that. So, yeah. 64 is pretty good. 16 is going to clog up pretty quickly.
Yeah, I've just noticed that they're only selling the 16 gig now.
Yeah.
Officially.
I don't know why they should be making this bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you say that?
It's a full-time job just studying the app.
I've got 16 gigabytes. Well, I've only got 14 because it's light.
Yeah, but it's never actually 16, is it?
I've got about 3 hours of this.
3 hours of what video footage? But I guess it's like, so it's the editing that generates the extra.
You're like having a whole load of stuff in your.
Yeah.
And if you're reluctant to throw stuff away, it just builds up and builds up and builds up.
Yeah.
And you get.
Fine. I'm going to make a video about this now and post on my Twitter. I'll be into it. Oh, God.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.